Hey there, I'm Amber, and welcome to the Ohay Void Internet Island. Today, I want to talk about a little something I call goal fear. You know, when you have a project or a goal that just doesn't seem to happen for some reason. It's there. It's been on your to-do list for a very, 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 very long time. It's probably sleeping on your couch, just hanging out. You occasionally think about it, and you're like, oh yeah, that thing, that one thing that sounded like a good time, maybe, probably, but I didn't do it. That goal. Whether it's a project or goal at work, or a personal passion project you've dreamt of since you were a child, I want to know about the fear that comes with it. Is it a fear of starting, fear of failing, fear of finishing, or fear of just having to put some version of yourself into something that will be displayed for others to judge? Where does the fear come from? How far does this fear run? And how do we learn to navigate our way around the emotional sinkhole that it leaves behind? If this is your first trip to the Ohay Void speck of internet vibration, welcome. This is a podcast where I share the outcomes of the battles I've had with my own inner struggles, paradigms, and personality. Because here in the void, we believe that having honest conversations about the life data we collect, we have the opportunity to really analyze what humanity is and come up with definitions for the universe that help us sleep at night. Before we begin, let's get some legalities and definitions out of the way. Before we go any further, you should know that I am not a psychologist, sociologist, therapist, or certified mediator of any kind. So if what I say resonates with you, cool, maybe we can trade some notes sometime. What this podcast is going to be is simply an expression of my journey and an analysis of what life data I've collected so far. My sending it off into the void of collective consciousness that we call the internet is simply me letting the future know that I was here. Another disclaimer before we go any further, this podcast will have what some deem grown-up language. Anyone who is offended by my favorite words, fuck, shit, bullshit, and dick, are probably not ready to hear what's going to be discussed on this podcast. I come from the mindset that language is the way our souls communicate in this extremely physical existence, and they're all beautiful, even the ones society has deemed ugly. So, if you're grown up enough to be okay with that, let's dive right in. While listening to this episode, be sure to keep in mind the four flaws of humanity we discussed in episode 1, as it will pertain to how we discuss things today. Cliff note versions of episode 1 include: flaw number 1, no one knows what the fuck they're doing. Number 2, everyone operates from their own bubbles. Number 3, you're responsible for your own bullshit. And number 4, fear fuels us, not love. Keep in mind that being aware of these flaws will help us to better evaluate the topic at hand, which is goal fear. So, all that aside, I think you're ready to go, ready to start. Let's do this thing. So, I will be the first to admit that I have layers upon layers of goal fear. It has crippled me through my 20s and is technically holding on even to this day. This is a habitual demon that has prevented me from making major career advancements and put me into a habit of finding new distractions for my actual goals. The beauty of it, of course, is that this fear is my own damn fault and a creation of my own internal void, which means that it's reprogrammable. So that's good news. I think it's important to note that you can totally have goal fear for things that aren't related to art or creating or even starting a business. You can have goal fear for things like cutting the grass, fixing the things around the house that need fixing, approaching your boss for a promotion, starting that workout regimen you bought but you never opened, or hell, the project of learning a new skill. The projects and goals we're talking about can be as big or small as you want. If it's something you want to accomplish, it's a goal. So if you haven't started it yet, you probably have a little bit of goal fear. What I've discovered over the years is the main layers of my personal goal fear include my fear of failure and my fear of self-worth. These two main fears seem to power the sub-fears I have, like the fear of starting, the fear of finishing, and the fear of being judged. Goal fear encompasses a lot. It's what I like to call a cluster fear, a nice big internal clusterfuck of fear-based paradigms that are put in place to keep you exactly where you are. Now, before we get any further, I want to get a little metaphorical with you to explain the concept of paradigms and fears. Jen Sincero has an awesome metaphor. Maybe it's an analogy. I don't know. But she calls it the Little Prince. In Jen's book, You're a Badass at Making Money, she breaks down that the Little Prince is that voice inside your head that engages in negative self-talk. This Little Prince's job is to keep you safe. And considering you're alive and breathing in your current situation, no matter how much you hate it, that fucking douchebag is going to do everything in his power to keep you exactly where you are, whether you like it or not. This metaphor is one that actually really changed my life. By giving a fictional presence to that voice inside my head and understanding the motive behind it, I was able to start really identifying my thought patterns, and those always seemed to be boiled down to fears. What happened after I started getting pretty good at identifying my fears was I started wanting to analyze those fears to their main source. By using analytical meditation and actively identifying whenever negative self-talk started, I was able to hone in on where my personal clusterfuck of goal fear came from and what those paradigms deep in there actually were. Since I can talk about this stuff for hours, for the sake of this podcast, we're really just going to look at my core fears in fear of failure and my fear of self-worth and how those really affected and built the foundations for my goal fear. So let's start with the fear of failure. I mean, who doesn't have that one? Chances are, if you're listening to this, you've got it somewhere. Maybe you're holding hands with it and letting it eat off your plate right now. Maybe you have your fear failure demon well maintained and you don't let it drive, but I find it hard to believe that you don't have it at all. The fear of failure is a huge, all-encompassing fear that directly impacts a lot more than you think it does. For me, it's kind of a subnucleus to a secondary clusterfuck of negatively impacting paradigms that I never actually identified in myself until this past year. Two of these little paradigm clusters is the fear of starting and the fear of finishing. So the fear of starting is probably why I'm not any of the things I thought I wanted to be when I was younger. For the longest time, I wouldn't start things because I had a fear that whatever the project or goal was, it wouldn't turn out as good as I wanted it to. So why even start? It felt like an endless cycle that has probably caused some undiagnosed bouts of depression in my history. So I've been working on a lot of introspection and personal growth in the last few years, and I've gotten really good at recognizing the signs of when I'm falling into a depression period. And near the end of 2018, I caught myself nosediving into just kind of this weird place of sadness for no reason. So I sat down and evaluated what had been going on. We had just moved from the city to the country. You know, we had some money saved up for the next couple of months that we were able to live. And I was like, man, I'm gonna do some personal projects. This is gonna be great. Well, I realized I was becoming sad and mad at myself because I didn't actually participate in the way I wanted to with the book I told myself that I was going to write. And I just didn't start. That sounds really stupid when I say it out loud, but that's the truth of what was going on in my feeling space. And so I decided to evaluate, okay, why didn't I start? At the core of every excuse I gave, I realized that it was just because I was scared. I mean, what if the story isn't any good? What if the book doesn't sell? What if I piss somebody off or hurt somebody's feelings? What if the science in the science fiction novel is not scientifically accurate? What if blah, 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 blah. All these things I made up in my head. Naturally, I had to invoke flaw number 3. You're responsible for your own bullshit. And I decided that I definitely did not want to be sad about something so silly anymore. And I just tried something new. I started it. By identifying what was holding me back, I started writing. I started feeling better. And for a short while, the process was very rewarding. But then, and there's definitely a but then, I encountered the second part of the fear of failure. I wasn't entirely aware I had, but I do know that I've had this thing for a very long time. And that's the fear of finishing. Now, this one's really interesting because by analyzing the fear of finishing, I realized I had a really, really bad habit of starting new projects halfway through other ones that were making good progress. So, for example, the epic space adventure I had written over 92,000 words of in the span of 3 weeks, yeah, that one stopped in favor of developing, writing, and illustrating a children's book, learning to 3D texture, learning to 3D rig, and surprise, surprise, starting this podcast. When I went back to reread the first 13 chapters a few weeks ago, I realized I didn't stop because the story was entirely horrible or because I didn't know where it was going. I stopped because I was scared to finish it. I had put the pedal to the fucking metal on this project, and I was flying through the experience with so much ease until I apparently gave that internal little prince some fucking whiplash, and the cycle of negative self-talk echoed into my void. So I just subconsciously diverted my interest to other projects. Yeah, so I got over my fear of starting by starting more projects. And these are all projects that could have been started after I finished the remaining 10 chapters. Projects that are still open and unfinished. When I realized this, I started my mental work of really analyzing what the fuck my problem was. Why did I keep stopping things that made me feel good when I was creating them? I mean, for the book, I should have just finished the first draft. At the rate I was going, I just needed another 2 weeks to get the words on paper, but I never did it. I started all of these other side projects. So when I was evaluating all of this stuff, the answer every time was that I stopped because if I finished, there was a chance no one would want to publish my book, people wouldn't want to read it, the financial goal I'd set wouldn't be reached, and I would 100% fail a miserable, depressing book launch, and all the everybodies I made up in my fake future would judge me so hard. So I don't know if this has happened to you, but I know when I kind of realized that I was going through this weird evaluation of a habit that I hadn't really given thought to over the years, I just kind of had to ask, why was I so goddamn scared of failing? What was that? Why was that scary to me? Because, you know, everything I read on the internet told me that in this new day and age, failing fast is the best way to finishing, the best way to make progress, best way to get products to market. And if I was going to start building assets instead of taking on client work, I had to get products to market. And by getting products to market, I had to finish them first. Well, that little dive deeper into the void introduced me to the other pillar of my tango with goal fear, and that was the fear of self-worth. So the topic of self-worth is a huge and complicated one that will get its own episode to discuss it in all its complicated glory. But for the sake of this episode, I'll be discussing the fear of knowing your own self-worth, which seems like a strange fear in the beginning, I know, but bear with me. There's a journey we're about to go on, guys. Now, what's interesting about self-worth is that a lot of people define it as having self-esteem or self-respect. And for quick definitions, it's important to note that in our society, self-esteem is considered your confidence level as it pertains to your abilities and achievements, whereas self-respect is defined by the confidence you have about your morals and dignity within your social environments. On positivepsychology.com/self-worth, written by Courtney Ackerman, Dr. Christina Hibbert explains this. Self-esteem is what we think and feel and believe about ourselves. Self-worth is recognizing I am greater than all those things. It is a deep knowing that I am of value, that I am lovable, necessary to this life, and of incomprehensible worth. I know what you're asking. Well, why would anyone not want to find that out? Why would you be scared of figuring out your own self-worth? Well, being someone who actually has a fear of knowing my own self-worth, the fear was from discovering that I actually had a very low outlook of myself. For someone who has been able to fake confidence until I convinced the people around me that I had it all figured out, I did not want to really look inside myself to see what I really thought about me. And that was really scary to realize how deep the paradigm of low self-worth actually was. The more I dove into trying to gain this deep knowing that I am of value and had incomprehensible worth, the more I realized I had other beliefs in their place. Beliefs that directly fueled every minor cluster compartment of my fear of failing. The belief that I wasn't good enough or smart enough to share my thoughts and ideas, the belief that no matter how hard I worked, nothing I did would ever be worth someone else's attention, and even the beliefs that my self-worth was tied to the approval of other people. The list of self-pitying horribleness went on, and let me tell you, there was probably a good month or two where I fucking hated everything about anyone who had similar signs of suffering on the same island of low self-worth. Anyone who could express a need to be liked by others or acted on their own self-worth issues sickened and annoyed the shit out of me. Anyone who constantly apologized or gave excessive excuses for not doing something or worried about whether someone else liked them royally pissed me off. Anyone who reflected back the fear I was so desperately trying to navigate through could really just shut the fuck up and get the fuck out. Cue evidence of flaw 2. Everyone operates from their own bubbles. And sometimes they're dicks about it. I sure as fuck was. And to top it off, I started to realize how many people I had in my life that I truly believed were allies, but they were actually in my tribe of influence because they benefited in some way from my low self-worth paradigms. Needless to say, it was a brutal Q1 of 2019. Good news, though, I identified that I was actually very angry with myself, because really I wasn't angry with the actor friend who was suffering from a validation from others' paradigm. I wasn't really annoyed by the family members who complained about coworkers not liking them, or anyone else I might have been an asshole to during that time. Truth was, I was angry with myself. And in a lot of ways, I was going through a weird breakup with a deep part of me that I didn't know I had. A part of me that was the source of a lot of my self-frustration. In a lot of ways, the emotional roller coaster I went through is very similar to when you're putting together department store furniture and you realize you've been using all the wrong bolts in the wrong pre-drilled hole because the correct bolts were actually hidden behind an untorn part of that materials packet that is usually with the box. And when you finally realize you're missing bolts, you spent almost just as much time looking for the missing bolts that you just spent incorrectly putting the piece of shit shelf together. And then in a last-ditch effort, you start moving, and by moving, I mean angrily shoving and flipping things over. Every possible part, box, foam, and whatever else this demon furniture came with, and then you find the right bolts. And then a sense of relief comes over you, and you finally found the fucking problem, but then rage, so much rage rushes through you, and you're like, fuck you, bolts! And before you throw the materials tray across the room with all the washers, you clench your teeth and take in a deep breath, maybe leave the room and take a shot or smoke a joint. And you're like, motherfucker, that was my fault. All right, let's try again. That same journey of feelings is kind of how my emotional process worked itself out during this inner journey experiment. After breaking up with the idiot me who hadn't realized I was using the wrong tools this whole fucking time, I was able to get some much-needed clarity as to why I was holding myself back. I was able to identify that because of my little prince having such a deeply embedded hold on my distorted self-worth paradigm, I had built in mechanisms that kicked in once I overpowered the fear of starting. The blatant act of procrastination, development of excuses, and the excessive project hopping fueled my fear of failing in a more diabolical way. In a lot of ways, that fucking little prince pulled kind of a misdirection on me. While I was over here going, man, I'm so proud of myself. I got over my fear of starting. Look at all the projects I've started. I am killing it. The little prince was over there in the corner like, yeah, okay, bitch. Start as many projects as you want. You're doing great. As long as you don't finish any of them, you won't find out you actually don't trust or give worth to anything you do, think, or want. That motherfucker. Anyway, I'm happy to report I'm doing a lot better. I'm more aware of my self-worth issues, and therefore I'm able to catch myself engaging in negative self-talk, setting impossible standards, and letting others drive my worthiness train. We'll go deeper into self-worth identification and paradigm shifting in a later episode, but what's important for this episode is that by navigating around the self-worth issues, I was able to start focusing in on ways to work out the various layers under the fear of failing. Now, because I can't afford therapy, and I actually really do like doing the mental work and research myself, I sought guidance from the collective consciousness void we call the internet. And the first dude that pops up is Guy Winch, PhD. He has a brilliant TED Talk on why we all need to practice emotional first aid, as well as a few great articles on the fear of failing on psychology.com. In his article, 10 Signs You Might Have Fear of Failure, he also talks about two ways to overcome it. Now, I'm not going to go over the 10 signs of the fear of failure. Most of it's like you procrastinate, you come up with excuses, you just never start, you do other weird things. Just if you want to know the list, go read it yourself, because I feel like it'd be more educational that way. But the two ways he suggests overcoming the fear of failure is what I was kind of looking for. I already knew that I had the fear of failure, so let's figure out how to fix this shit. His first suggestion is that you own the fear. Because the fear of failure is so rooted in our subconscious and we don't even know that we're partaking in it through means of self-doubt, procrastination, or well-orchestrated excuses, Dr. Winch suggests that we own the fear. Understand that we have a fear and shame relationship with failure, and then simply discuss it. By bringing these feelings of failure to the surface, by talking to other people about it, you can catch yourself before you self-sabotage. While sharing your fear with others, you'll also create a support system with those you can confide in, and they can help boost self-confidence and minimize the possibility of being disappointed. Now, this really worked for me. Long before I read the article, I had made a conscious decision to be open about the paradigms that I was working to shift. And, you know, by talking about the fear of failure with my partner and talking about them to the friends and family that would listen, I was empowered by the open dialogue that was started. People opened up about their fears and insecurities, and there was a camaraderie in wanting to overcome the fear that was crippling a lot of people. It actually helped me identify all the negative bad habits I had formed that kept me from accomplishing the things I wanted to. It also made me more aware that I am not alone in these feelings, which, when you're thinking that, like, your shit's, like, fucked up, it's really magical to realize that there are other fucked up people in the world, especially people you like. So that was nice. By discovering and discussing the fear, it somehow removed the shame associated with it that usually ended in a spiral of depression, and the whole process started again, and it was nasty. Now, it's important to note that I think sharing is important, but once you start dwelling on it and start seeking emotional sympathy for your fear, it becomes this weird crutch. It also kind of turns you into a complaining emotional vampire. So don't be an emotional vampire. Discuss, critically analyze, and move into Dr. Winch's step number 2 as soon as possible. Because if you're just going to complain about it and you're not going to do anything about it, it gets tiring. And so acknowledge, analyze, and move on, people. Move on. So number 2 that Guy Winch suggests to get over your fear of failure is focus on aspects you can control. By identifying and reframing the tasks of your project or goal into situations where you're in control of them, you eliminate the possibility of being able to come up with excuses. You take control of your own situation and are able to start putting yourself out there in smaller baby steps. In a lot of ways, this exercise actually helped me get over the fear of starting issue I mentioned earlier. When it came to writing that book, the excuses I accepted from myself was because I didn't know the first thing about finding a publisher or writing a book that someone else would want to read. So clearly, I probably shouldn't just not even start. The way I took back control was I decided I would self-publish. For me, it was the match that lit the fire under my ass to actually start writing. The idea that I didn't need someone else's permission to publish helped me start. Granted, now that I've been writing and educating myself on the process of self-publishing, I am more open to and more confident about the possibility of reaching out to publishers when it comes time for that. Anyway, back to the topic. What's interesting was just by removing the hurdle I had given myself for so many years, and just by taking control of the situation, I was more excited and more inspired to start. Now, staying the course is an entirely different conversation, obviously, cue my fear of finishing, but I started, and that's the first step to any progress. Another professional article I found was written by Bill Noss, EDD. His article on psychology.com was titled, How to Overcome Fear of Failure. What's interesting is at its core, Bill's 5 steps revolve around the concept of building a self-improvement perspective. He suggests learning how to cope with failure by being open to fail. The short version of his 5 steps include, 1, pretend to be a scientist, exploring who you are as a person, look at yourself objectively, and work to find solutions to your problems. 2, ask yourself what actions you need to take to overcome the fear of failure. 3, expect the unexpected and you won't be too surprised when the outcomes you wanted are different. 4, ask yourself what your standard of success really is. And number five is then ask yourself, and this is a direct quote from the article, if you value human worth and dignity, then how do you justify adhering to personal standards so strict that they exclude you from experiencing worth and dignity? Now, if you're paying attention, you'll probably guess that I was pleasantly surprised to learn that I was already actively using these five steps without any guidance from a paid professional. As most humans will attest, validation to your process or thought patterns is always super nice. But what stuck out for me and helped me from this article is step number five. After identifying what your standard of success really is, ask yourself, if you value human worth and dignity, then how do you justify adhering to personal standards so strict that they exclude you from experiencing worth and dignity? I was totally guilty of having expectations for myself that were difficult for me to obtain because of my crippling goal fear. The fact that I would self-sabotage without even knowing I was doing it was an issue that was rooted in my self-worth issues. I was technically setting myself up to fail emotionally before I even got started. It's a sick and twisted cycle that will probably take a long while to overcome completely, if at all. But I'm happy to report, this podcast came from that little mental journey into the inner void. Because of my mental and spiritual work over the last year on this very topic, I've finally started something and finished it. Technically, I could stop this podcast after this episode because I'm pretty fucking happy with myself. But the thing is that I finished the first and second episode. I've increased my self-worth bank enough to battle my fear of failure by sharing these extremely deep podcast topics with the internet void. And that to me is a success. I'm still working on accepting that my self-worth doesn't come from my actions or the successes of my projects and goals. I'll probably always have to remind myself in this technology age of Instagram scrolling and hate liking that the success of this podcast has nothing to do with how many listeners or brand followers we have. This podcast is a success because I wrote, produced, and actually fucking posted a new episode and have more lined up for the coming weeks. I think that it's important to be aware that everyone feels these things. Every fear of failure comes with a deeper issue that you're not seeing in yourself. Yours might be completely different from mine. You might have, I don't know, a fear of your mother. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's yours. You've collected the data and you can work yourself around it. You can reprogram that stuff. But I think that it's important to note that you do have the power to identify what's inherently holding you back from the progress you want to see. And identifying the problem is the first step to growth. You just have to be willing to do the work. It's a big project, but you shouldn't be scared to work on yourself or anything that you've been wanting to do that you've never started or you haven't finished or sitting in a notebook from middle school. I don't know. Whatever the project is, just remember, by doing it and working on it, that is a success. The social successes of the project or goal has nothing to do with your own value. You are enough with or without that project. What do you have to lose? If it's something you want, get over it and fucking go for it. Anyway, this episode was brought to you by our I'm Vibes Inspiration t-shirt line. Today's episode design is our newest paradigm tee that reads, hashtag fail team. Because failing as a team makes failing alone a whole lot less daunting. If you feel like supporting us, please consider buying a t-shirt and checking out our website at ohheyvoid.com. That brings us to the end of our podcast. I hope it entertained, enlightened, or enraged you. Sparking thoughts and feelings are a good thing no matter how you look at it. It reminds us that we're alive and in this together. Until next week, may your stress be minimal, your self-inflicted hate be productive, and your attempt at love be boundless. I'm Amber, and this has been episode 2 of...
Oh, hey!